Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On yesterday's call, we began talking about the seven character traits of a winner, or to be successful. We're going to continue this teaching, but we're going to do a brief review. First, empathy. Empathy.
In Hebrews 4, verse 15, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning."
Truly, Jesus has empathy for us. He feels what we feel. He puts himself in our place, sharing our emotions. And this is a character quality which we need to demonstrate for others.
Number two, stop, neutralize, and eliminate conflict. When conflict arises, and it will, here's how we suggest handling it. First, purpose in your heart not to add fuel to the flames of the other person's agitation. Second, if you stop talking, it will help diffuse the flames. And third, listen to what the other person is saying without responding while they're talking. Fourth, don't defend yourself. I know it's not easy. When you push back, they push back even more. And fifth, ride the wave of their discontent, but don't be drowned by the undertow. Sixth, stay calm, even if it means getting back to the person, which they may not like, but you can say, "Hey, I need a little time to think this through, and I'll get back with you." And seventh, ask the person to forgive you if you've offended them. And doing so doesn't mean that you're necessarily wrong. It just means you're giving them the opportunity to let things go. Proverbs 15, verse 1, 15:1 in the New Living Translation says, "A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare."
Third, respond like water off a duck's back. When dealing with difficult situations, we can't take it personally, even though we may be justified to do so. We should respond like I said, water off a duck's back. Most of all, don't get offended. And even more importantly, don't give place to the offense, as it will quickly build into a stronghold which the enemy will use to destroy a marriage and even friendships.
Fourth, give praise when and where it's due. Always look for and compliment the good in other people. Recognize that things they're dealing with and commend them on what they're doing. In Proverbs 12:25, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Worry weights a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up."
Now let's pick up where we left off yesterday. Fifth, be happy. If you make people feel happy, then you're the kind of person they want to hang around, or at least have access to. However, if you never smile, if you never say or have a kind word, if you look like you've been winged on a dill pickle, nobody will want to be around you. As we call many times, happiness is an outward expression of an inner work. And it depends on what you do and how you respond to what happens to you. For people to be truly happy, there must be an inner realization of the mental and spiritual commitments that they've made to be more than what they are, to do more than what they've already done, and bless more than they thought imaginable. Happiness is much more than a momentary triumph or victory, because it's just that.
Momentary. What brings happiness or lasting happiness can be found in a couple of scriptures that we found. And one of them is Psalm 84:5. Psalm 84, verse 5 in the Living Bible says, "Happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who want above all else to follow your steps." And Psalm 112 is a good one too. Psalm 112, verse 1 in the Living Bible says, "Praise the Lord, for all who fear God and trust in him are blessed beyond expression. Yes, happy is the man who delights in doing his commands."
Do you want to be happy? Fear God, trust in him, and obey his instructions. Happiness is a magnet. It will draw happy people to you. By the same token, unhappiness will draw to you people who, well, kind of people you don't have in your inner circle or near you, unless you're leading them to Jesus.
Amen. 6, be ready to change as needed. Oh, yeah. Be ready to change as needed. What we tolerate, we accept. So be the change that we desire to see in other people. Change must first start inside of us. Then it will begin to flow out of us. Galatians 6, 15 and 16. Galatians 6, 15 and 16 in the Message Bible says, "Can't you see the central issue in this? It's not what you do and I do. It is what God is doing, and he is creating something totally new, a free life. All who walk by the standard are the true Israel of God, his chosen people. Peace and mercy on them." The best way to change our world is to change what we think. In 2 Kings 7, verse 3, it says, "And there were 4 leprous men at the evening of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why sit here until we die?'" This is a story of in 2 Kings about the 4 lepers realizing that everybody was just waiting to starve to death. So they decided to do change something with their situation, change their environment. By doing so, they literally opened the door for a whole city to be delivered from starvation. That's a good story to read in 2 Kings chapter 7. Change is going to come into your life one way or another. Might as well be expecting it. Either will we will precipitate the change for good, or circumstances may change things for the worst. So by trusting God and obeying what he has to say, good change can come into our lives. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, "And we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Obeying the word will change our circumstances for good. In Acts 26, verse 20, in the New Living Translation, "I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things they do." God prompts us into good things by changing the way we think. What changes us and the rest of the world is the truth, the word. Colossians 1, verse 6 in the New Living Translation, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day that you first heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace."
7, pray with and for people. We should pray for other people because, honey, it's a scriptural imperative.
That's true. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men."
Prayers don't have to be profound, complicated, or long, especially long. And you don't need a "Thou art a mighty God" kind of prayer. Now, you can. But see, you have to realize you're not trying to impress God. You can't, because he already knows everything about us. When we pray for someone else, our primary objective should be to bring hope, answers, and the miraculous to the person who needs it. And also just showing them that you care enough to pray. Just simple conversational prayers, that'll do it. Without question, your main goal is to pray for the person or persons to receive a divine, not only intervention in their lives in one form or another, but also a divine impartation of understanding, of knowledge, of peace, joy, hope. If you're spirit-filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, unless they ask you to pray for them to receive the gift of evidence, don't. Stay on point. Pray for their specific request. You should also be setting an example of how to pray for others. Asking to pray for someone is a great way to connect with them. Very few people will ever turn you down when you ask to pray for them.
That's true.
Very few. When you're praying with someone with whom you feel, well, has an area of unconfessed or undealt with sin in their lives, don't do clothesline praying. Don't. That's between them and God. See, you're not their Holy Spirit. You don't bring the conviction for change. You don't provide the answers, but God does and can. Here are several powerful scriptures that we need to get deep down inside of us.
And we might even say, before I even read this one in Psalm 34, verses 6 through 8, starting, this is in the Message Bible. There were a lot of prayers in the Bible. I'm actually reading through the Psalms right now, where people cried out. You know, you're not the only one who cries out. In Psalm 34, starting in verse 6 in the Message Bible, it says, "When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel set up a circle of protection around us while we pray." You know, when we pray for others, we are empowered and blessed. In John 14, verse 13, John 14, 13 in the Living Bible, it says, "In solemn truth, I tell you, anyone believing in me shall do the same miracles I have done, and even greater ones, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask him for anything using my name, and I will do it. For this will bring praise to the Father because of what I, the Son, will do for you."
Amen. Do you need one last reason why it's beneficial to pray for others? You can find it in Job 42:10. 42:10 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before."
Hallelujah.
Important to understand, Job's friends were, by the way they acted, honey, I think more acquaintances than friends.
Well, they weren't what you want to call the kind of people you just feel real led to pray for.
And you don't want, that's right. You don't want them in your inner circle, for sure. Okay. Anyhow, these are the characteristics of a winner. Characteristics of a person who wants to be successful in life. Empathy, number one. Two, stop, neutralize, and eliminate conflict. Number three, respond like water off a duck's back. Four, give praise when and where it's due. Fifth, be happy. Six, be ever ready to change as needed. And seventh, pray with and for people. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, you have a marvelous Monday.
That's it.
And may this be the best week you've ever had.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right.
And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 8:30.
Amen. Until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.